doing the coin test for at least 9-10 years, and I do not apologize for having him on. That said, I've disagreed with some of the things he said or his direction on things, but I'm going to always be clear. You can't have the Democratic Party and the left all over the world, Islamists and the leftist Jewish groups and Hollywood literally saying Christians and Catholics are inherently bad. White men are bad. White should be eradicated. New York Times. Whiteness is a disease. Whiteness is a cancer. I can show you. You've seen it. Hour-long compilations of the news saying it. So they're the ones that have created this incredible anti-Western, anti-Christian garbage. And so what do you expect people to do? So then you have somebody like Nick, conservative, you know, on record when he's 12, involved in politics, doing stuff at the national level by the time he's 18 because he's successful and smart. Gets fired, you know, by the Ben Shapiro folks because he asked questions. They try to destroy him. And he's instantly even more successful over the last 8 years of incredible persecution. So I've gone through a lot of the same stuff he has. And I've been successful when I was very young as well, but not as young as him. I mean, I was on air when I was 20 and big by 25 or so, but not as, you know, and it's not about who's big or whatever. It's a phenomenon. And it's because Nick is charismatic. He is smart and he knows what he's talking about. And so when other people that are informed, whether they're liberals or conservatives, they know, oh, this guy knows what he's talking about. He can debate Heritage Foundation top people. He can debate, top people from the Hoover Institute, you name it, and wipe the floor with them because he knows the facts up one side and down the other. And I respect that because I do constant research and I learn a lot from Nick Fuentes. So where we're at here is you can overall say, well, I don't, you know, go as far as he does. And I get it. He has fun. He admits it. He laughs and says, sorry. They don't show that. I do the same thing. He does the edgelording. It's entertaining. He's up late at night. And they take it out of context. That's fine. Because we need to stop being guilty. We need to stop sitting here and pulling our punches and say what we really think. Especially when the opposition to us is 100 times more racist and hateful than we are. And the great news is black folks, particularly, and Hispanics are seeing through this. When I go out in public, and it's every day, I get mobbed always. But I'm telling you, I've never seen anything like it. Usually, oh, Joe Rogan or, you know, something like that. This is all Nick Fuentes. I walked into an Italian restaurant a few days ago to pick up food to take home. And it's a nice place, all full of people. And I'm walking in, and these two young Hispanic, very attractive young women come out. And, you know, upper class style, you know, super, you know, designer clothes. We're like, oh, Alex, we love your show. We're listening to it today. Oh, did you see next time we talk to Nick, tell him we love him and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I walk in. I'm sitting there waiting to get my food at the counter. Hey, Alex, love the show, blah, blah, blah. When are you having Nick Fuentes back on? I'm like, this is like 10 seconds later. I'm like, all right. Other people, hey, like the show, blah, blah, blah. Hey, take a picture. All right, get my stuff. Women behind the counter give me the food. Hey, we love the show. We love what you're doing. I'm walking in the parking lot. People stop me. They're taking pictures. Hey, when are you going to be on Joe Rogan again? I don't know. Well, hey, you know, we love it when you have Nick Fuentes on. By the way, what's wrong with Candace Owens? So, I mean, that's one story. True. Okay? So you talk about zeitgeist. What does that say? If you can spend all your time trying to demonize a guy that's 26 now and his trajectory of getting better and better, because he was eloquent and well-spoken when I first met him and saw him. I'm like, yeah, he's got potential. It just shows how discredited the system is and how scared they are. So there's a fight between the Israel First, Ben Shapiro lobby to try to control the Republican Party. You see the epicenter of that, TPUSA. And then you've got other people posing like they're Nick Fuentes and, you know, the America First movement and myself that exposed the whole globalist program so people can make their decisions and wake up. They want to come in and muscle in and then say, oh, Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes, they're not real. They're Israelis. And then add a bunch of fiction and hype and real conspiracy theories to the brew to get a bunch of low IQ people under their control. We believe in humanity. I'm going to just put the truth out. Build it, they will come. But we have to also address the powerful movements and groups trying to come in and sabotage the organic thing that's happening. But the good news is you're not going to stop it. So that's my preface. I'm going to shut up and go to Nick. I want to get into the geopolitics. I want to get into Trump. I want to get into all this. But it really is important that we also understand that the way the globalists are going to sabotage this nationalist, populist Christian movement is infiltrating their people, posing as us, doing outrageous stuff, saying things that aren't true, organizing a bunch of dumb people that will then say a bunch of ridiculous, disprovable stuff to discredit. And that is definitely what's going on. You can ask, is it conscious by these key people or not? I don't know. But we now understand where we are and where this is going. But people forget that Candace Owens' fight with TPUSA, say what you want, got Trump elected, got millions of young people registered that the left hates and fears and has the motive to kill. They said they'd kill him. They celebrated he died. We're not supposed to look at it. It was Nick Fuentes being kicked out of those events that triggered the revolution in TPUSA that forced Kirk to wake up and say, yeah, we're not going to sit there and ostracize these people. We can't even win that fight. Then Israel Labia came in and did threaten him. Then he did begin to stand up to them. But that was Nick Fuentes and the Groypers on record. A 9-year fight. Then you have these interlopers. You then have these pretenders to the throne of doing this coming in and trying to remove him from his house and say it's theirs. That is what we're talking about here. And that's the sleight of hand. And it's not about Nick being the big guy or me being the big guy. It's about the integrity of it to win this fight. They need to remove us from intellectual leadership roles so they can sabotage it. This is about infighting. This is about we're under attack at every level. We've not really addressed it until now. It's got to be done. So, Nick, that's my rant. I apologize for making you hold for 10 minutes while I hit it. We might need to start there. They're going to geopolitics, everything. In fact, let's just – I said, where do you want to go first? You said, wherever you want. Let's go into this big picture. It's a lot. I'm going to try to shut up. Go ahead.
Well, thank you for the great introduction. And I think you're totally right. This is kind of the most salient thing which is happening on the right wing, you know, over the past couple of years. Ever since October 7th, of course, everybody is talking about there is this great awakening or a raising of the consciousness with regard to the issue of Israeli influence. And this is something that for a long time, this is perhaps why it's so significant, for a long time, this issue was totally taboo. It was actually borderline illegal. And as you know, and as other people know on the right wing, there was literally no room at all for any skepticism, any criticism of any kind on this position. Everything was categorized as hateful, anti-Semitic, and it would get you removed from your job, ostracized. You were just not allowed inside the movement. And so what happened after October 7th, in addition to some of the free speech on the internet, Elon Musk acquiring Twitter, some liberalization of the terms of service on other platforms like Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, is that people started to ask questions. Why are we supporting this country? Why are we giving them all this foreign aid? Why are we fighting their wars? Among other things, a lot of legitimate questions. And I think you and I talked about this a lot, and other people did too. Question is, where does the Israel lobby go from here when it seems that everybody is hip? Everybody is now wise to their game. And it is, like you said, this is the zeitgeist. And it's not about me and it's not about you as personalities. It's about the issues. It's about the substance. And these ideas have penetrated the mainstream discourse and they have entered into the zeitgeist. And now it's people of all ages from everywhere in the country, all socioeconomic classes. I hear about, you know, working class people talking about this. I hear about professional managerial class people talking about this. White people, not white people, men, women, young, old. And so everybody's wondering, well, what do they do? Because they can't get the they can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. They can't put the genie back in the lamp. So what's their play? And I think back to an article which was written by Cass Sunstein about 15 or 20 years ago. He was an Obama admin official. I believe he's from out of Harvard. And they said, so what are we to do about these conspiracy theorists and all the misinformation and disinformation on the internet? This is back in, I think, 2007. And they said, well, there's a few obvious strategies. We can debate the conspiracy theorists and try to prove them wrong and debunk them. We can censor the conspiracy theorists and deprive them of a platform so they can't spread their misinformation. They said, but both of these strategies kind of give opportunities to the conspiracy theorist. If you debate them, you're entertaining them and in a way legitimizing them and in another way giving them a platform. If you're censoring them, you're turning them into martyrs and you're almost proving them right. If you ban everybody for saying certain things, well, people are going to take a look at what those things are. They're going to say, why are those ideas or statements being censored? So they came up with a novel third option, which is to flood the zone with crap. And basically, they muddy the waters. And so they introduce all this other stuff where you have legitimate, I would say, conspiracy theories. And these are just ideas that powerful people have ulterior motives. They have a concealed agenda and they work together. That's not crazy. That's reality. And everybody knows that's the way the world works. Powerful people get together at Davos or they get together at Bilderberg or wherever, all these secret societies and political people, government people, media people, rich people, they get together and they work together for an agenda and they don't tell the public about it. And it's probably corrupt. We all know this is happening and we try to figure out where it's happening and the substance of that agenda. But then you have other people that come out and they posit that there is a grand conspiracy that somewhere underground, people are getting together and plotting out the whole future of the universe and the earth is flat and lizard people are real. And they will say just a lot of nonsense. And I do believe that this is actually the strategy, which is to inflame and create division within the movement, within the America First movement, within the Israel critical movement. In other words, people that are against the Israel First lobby, and to try to introduce a lot of nonsense, to discredit, to divide. And they lay this out, actually. Heritage Foundation, which you mentioned earlier, they're the preeminent conservative think tank. They put out something called Project Esther a couple of years ago. And you can look this up. It's online. You can read through it. And what it says specifically is they want to create a public and private partnership between government and the private sector, nonprofits, to combat what they call anti-Semitism. They brand it as the Hamas Support Network. So anybody that doesn't want to go to war with Iran, anybody that doesn't want to genocide the kids in Gaza, anybody that doesn't want to give them all these missiles, they're branding them as the Hamas Support Network. You're all terrorists. And they say, how are we going to fight back against those that are criticizing Israel's policy? They say, well, we are going to create infighting within that scene. They said, we are going to exacerbate and inflame all of those cleavages that exist between the various factions that are criticizing Israel. And I think you're seeing that play out right now. And it's true that it is a broad group of people that are criticizing Israel's government and their regime and what they're doing from all different walks of life and from different reasons. But I've been saying on my show, it's important to differentiate who they are and who we are. For example, a guy like Max Blumenthal, he's on Tucker. He's on Judge Napolitano. And I like these shows. I watch these shows. It's a good source of alternative information. But Max Blumenthal is a leftist. I remember when Max Blumenthal was working for the SPLC and doing hit pieces on David Irving. That's who he is. The reason that he is against Israel, it's not because he's an America First right-wing patriot. It's because he's actually a super leftist, a super liberal, and he sees Israel as a staging ground for imperial capitalism. That's totally different. And so, in a sense, we're both against what Israel is doing, but for very different reasons. And so, for example, when these ICE protests broke out, when they investigated the fraud in Somalia and that woman was killed, Renee Good, people like you and I think all said she tried to run over an ICE agent. ICE is carrying out their lawful duties. There's 10 million illegals. They got to go out. Well, Max Blumenthal, the big Israel critic, he goes on Twitter and says, well, this is terrorist capitalism. When ICE deports illegals and shoots protesters to try to run them over, that's terror capitalism. Terror capitalism. And it's like, look, I'm not a communist. Okay? I'm critical of Israel because I don't like genocide and I'm America First. And but I'm not a communist.
And that's sorry, what you're getting. That's what you've been nailing is just because we don't like Israel trying to run the U.S. the things it does, which is healthy as a zeitgeist to get over that and criticize it, to get over political correctness in general. Doesn't mean we're allied with Islam. Doesn't mean we're allied with the left. Doesn't mean we're allied with all this garbage. And that's what they're trying to do right now. And I notice these classic liberals, leftists, by classic, I mean modern classic leftists, are like our leaders now, and they decide who's good. And now the left has articles praising MAGA that's turned against Trump and praising them for, you know, now doing this. And it's not like they're criticizing Trump to make him better. They're doing it to bring it down. And whereas you've been critical where Trump's really wrong, I've noticed, though, you've been a little more positive lately because you see him getting more hardcore.
Well, and that's a really important point that you just said. The far left, when they say pedo protector, when they attack him over Epstein, they don't care about Epstein. Biden was there for 4 years. They didn't care about Epstein then. They care about it now because they can create division within MAGA. And they want Trump to go down because they don't want deportations. It's not for any other reason. So it's important not to get it twisted. Fundamentally, we are a conservative, patriotic movement. And like you say, I criticize Trump because I want him to be the best, not because I want to bring it all down and have some left-wing progressive like Mamdani in power to socialize everything. You know, we have to remember to take our own side. And our tribe and who is looking out for us is patriotic Americans that love the flag, that want borders, that want actually law and order, sensible policies, not these like Jewish communists that are screeching about terror capitalism, not people like Mamdani that say they want to tax white neighborhoods more to pay for everybody's benefits. That's not what we're about. So I think 26 is a year. We got to start drawing some lines and making some refinements.
Let's come back and talk more about this, because this is the big future issue that's already here. And whereas we've been sitting back and watching this, they're now trying to police everything we're doing, trying to demonize us so they can make their move and take over the populist nationalist movement. We'll be right back with Nick Fuentes. Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers on it, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it and support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. It's Alex Jones.
Just because your fire alarm goes off and you wake up at 3 a.m., you know there's a fire, you smell smoke, you don't know where it is or exactly what's happening. Well, Nick Fuentes and I have been awake a long time. Even though he's 26, he's been awake since, you know, he was 15, 16 years old, politically engaged before that. I've been politically awake for 40 years, and since I was about 12. And I really want civilization. I really want to succeed. I have a real sense of our ancestors, our current generations, and our future. And I see a lot of people that have just now woken up to the fact they're being lied to, but they don't have the depth of understanding about what America First means and why that's so important. And then all these factions coming in that claim they're patriots, but really aren't. It's really important to be able to differentiate that. Now, I want to finish up with this civil war inside MAGA that the left's trying to orchestrate, and the different factions that are there that are kind of using old fissure lines from real intellectual battles that you had in the last decade that they've tried to exacerbate. And then I want to move on to, I've seen you warm to Trump because you are seeing him finally get more hardcore, or at least signal he's starting to go in the right direction. I want to elaborate on that. Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, I'm warming up a little bit to Trump in the past couple of weeks. I mean, some of the things he's been doing are positive. I still have a lot of the same apprehensions about the deportations in Iran, and you know, we could get into that. But, you know, kind of picking up on where we left off before, you know, the thing is about when you wake up with regard to Israel and the red pill and all these things, I think what tends to happen with a lot of people is when you destroy the credibility of the mainstream media, when you destroy these narratives you believed in for your whole life, it's easy then to become completely disoriented. And then you don't, like you said before, you don't know where to look. You don't know what's going on, where the problem's coming from. And I think this is the experience of a lot of people in the past couple of years. People have started to wake up. They've gotten red-pilled in 2024, 2025 recently. And I said this on Telegram. This is kind of like a subtle thing that I hope maybe your viewers can kind of understand if you'll stay with me here a little bit. A lot of people that have gotten very engaged in politics and on this issue in the past couple of years, they're not actually political people. They're not actually conventionally political people. They're not interested in political issues necessarily. I call them disgruntled normies. And so there are a lot of people that didn't really pay attention, but something has been happening lately, and this is maybe a bit suspicious, which is that all of a sudden, our timelines on Instagram and Twitter and everywhere, TikTok even, it's filled with this kind of content, conspiracy content, Israel critical content, that sort of thing. And the reason I say that it's a little bit suspicious, of course, I benefited from it, profited from it, from an ideological point of view, from a monetary point of view. I'm happy about it. It's the kind of content that I post, and it's the kind of ideas that I promote. But as we know, for 10 years, it was the complete opposite. If anyone even hinted at those sorts of things, they were immediately eradicated. And so much effort went into this. AI algorithms and moderation teams, and the rules kept getting more and more convoluted. Now, all of a sudden, it's everywhere and it's on all the platforms for everybody. And you could be on Instagram for 5 minutes and then you're getting a clip about how Israel did 9/11. You're getting a clip and it's an AI translated Hitler speech. And so it's sort of a mystery why that happened and what was the driving force behind it. Nevertheless, it happened. And so suddenly all these new people have been drafted into the ranks, let's say, of truth tellers, red pillars, and it's great. You know, the more the merrier, welcome in. Here's the issue, though, with the disgruntled normie. Many of the disgruntled normies are still very left-leaning. They still have many of what you would call their ideological priors. And by that, I mean their kind of foundational ideas about morality and the world and how it works. And so they're basically still a left-leaning normie, like a center-left normie that doesn't know that much about politics. They didn't go through a libertarian phase. They didn't go through a conservative phase. They kind of started as a Redditor, and now they have these facts, armed with some of these facts. And as I've said on my show, I think this makes people vulnerable to ideological capture by other groups. And I think about communists, which I mentioned earlier, and I also think about Muslims too. Because as we talked about before the break, everybody's criticizing Israel because the genocide is appalling. Everybody does not want to get into another war in the Middle East. But of course, all these different ideological groups have different reasons for opposing it. And so we talked about communists. How about Muslims? What is the reason that Muslims are against Israel, don't want America to intervene, are against the genocide? Well, it's because they have some kinship with the Palestinians, either ethnic or religious. They have some kinship with those people. And that's not really quite the same because me, I'm born in America. I'm not a Muslim. I don't have any Arab DNA. I don't really care about those issues because it's close to home or close to my heart. I care about these issues because of America, because America is getting involved in something that isn't good for America. It's not really quite the same with these other groups. And so I see these people on Telegram, on Twitter every day, and there's a very fine line between saying these wars are bad for America because they're unnecessary and people that are saying these wars are evil colonialist wars and America is evil and America is spreading terrorism. And you get a lot of the latter with many of these very organized Muslim influencers on the internet who are saying that America is evil, Israel's evil, and America's evil too. And some will even say, by the way, that Israel is an extension of America and that America's the real problem. America's a crusader state. And so I see some Muslim influencers, they say, we need to restrain America technologically. We need America to take a hit. We need them to get knocked down a peg because they're responsible for all the problems in the world. And you go, wait a second. So you're not rooting for America. You don't want what's best for America. You're angry at America. You're angry at America because your people were being bombed. You came here as a refugee or something. And I'm sorry. I don't care what mistakes America has made. I'm never going to hate America. It's my country. I love America. I'm proud of America. And so this is where patriots need to kind of, as I said before, differentiate and start to distinguish and say, we are America first. I am not a third worldist, anti-colonial, anti-imperialist, anti-Western, peoples of the world unite, whatever. No, I'm America first, and I want whatever is best for America, even if that means, by the way, certain interventions like in Venezuela. And I'm not rooting for America to fall. Because
and I want to get to that.
Things.
I want to get to that. Great detail because you have a good, really good analysis. So that we'll look at it. But just going back to this for a moment. Just because we don't want Israel running our country and censoring us and controlling us doesn't mean then we hook the caboose of Islam and Soros and the left and all their garbage and Mondami onto it. And that's what they're trying to do, is a sleight of hand. And then when you point that out, now they've successfully captured so many new people that woke up that they go, oh, Nick works for Israel because he doesn't want to open the doors to Islam. And it's like, no, you've said that Israel certainly uses Islam in the West as a distraction, but still, at the end of the day, Islam does want to take over. So it's being honest about there are multiple groups, multiple things to deal with and understand. But if you pull back to all of this, I know where it's going. Look at Australia. You got these Muslims. They shoot a bunch of people. They're at the beach, Bondi Beach. And then the government comes out and says white supremacy is the main threat, and we're going to pass these anti-Semitism laws. It's called the anti-Semitism law, and I've got the law here. It's like 70 pages long. It lets them arrest you because you might say something. You can't criticize anything. The government can say anything they want is illegal. They can ban any group. And it is literal Iron Curtain beyond the Soviet Union. And that's the ADL branch that wrote that. The same stuff in Europe, same thing in the UK that they want here. The same thing being passed in Canada. So we know they're going to push all this, and they're gonna let all the craziness go online. And I'm not saying censor it, but literally they promote and push the most crazy, ridiculous, made-up stuff. So a lot of people that are smart go, well, none of this is true because it's just so ridiculous. But also the mentally ill then are going to go out and attack. So you don't have to go stage a false flag yourself. You just create the environment and the atmosphere, like the Kingsman, where the cell phone sends the signal. Well, the message is the signal. And then when that happens, now we come in with the mass censorship and control. And that's what they're planning. That's what they're doing. And also, if you've got you and a few others getting huge audiences, legitimately ending these taboos is very healthy, regardless what you think of it. If Nick's totally right or partially right or whatever, it's good to end these taboos that control us all. That's the cult. You culture jam the whole thing with just such a background of ridiculous crap that then the serious arguments get lost in it. And so that's where we're at. And so there's no doubt that's happening. The question is, are these people involved in it? And we all know their names. Are they doing it consciously, or are they just kind of following the algorithm, knowing if they do this, it gets boosted? Because you still get, because I've looked at it, we get suppressed everywhere where we're even allowed to operate, X, you name it. You do. You have almost no bots. Anybody's got some bots doing stuff. You look at a Candace Owens. I mean, we've had internet groups look at it. It's like 80% bot. She's, I mean, literally on my phone. I'm not on YouTube. I'm not on these things. It's pushed to me. Everybody I know, she is pushed by the system. She's never gets in trouble at YouTube, never gets in trouble on Instagram. So you know when someone's never been censored, never been deplatformed, never been debanked, never put on a no-fly list, never had somebody come to your house to kill you, like Nick has, and I never talked about my stuff. It's private. I just sit here, everybody saying, I'm the establishment because I've survived this long when I'm barely doing it. And then I see this person riding around like a royalty, literally married to royalty, with a bot farm husband behind her. And then it's just obvious what's going on. Nick Fuentes.
Well, I don't think that I don't think they're necessarily being controlled. I mean, you never know, but I think that a lot of it is just like you said, they're chasing the algorithm. And I think a lot of them are just have a reckless disregard for the truth. And as I said, I don't think they have any kind of ideological foundation. It's people that got red-pilled a few minutes ago, and they don't know what's up and down, and they don't know what's going on. And then these are people that are just getting, it's only in one direction, more extreme, more crazy, more out there, more far-fetched. With Candace, I don't even think it's bots. I think that maybe people just underestimate how many dumb people there are in the world that have an appetite for this crap. People that want to hear about, time travelers and aliens and, everybody secretly transgender at the highest levels. There is a huge appetite. And let's be honest, the right wing has cultivated that. Over the years, the right wing has cultivated this audience of people that it's the QAnon stuff. It's this crazy conspiracy stuff. And there are no guardrails. And now, well, the lunatics are quite literally running the asylum. Like the biggest, dumbest lunatic is running the asylum with all the idiots gathered every day for the latest conspiracy. And like with this Charlie Kirk thing I said on my show the other night, it just keeps getting bigger. It starts out with a conspiracy that maybe someone at Turning Point embezzled $1 million and they took him out to hide it. Then it turns into, well, Israel killed him because he was going to go against Israel. Then it's, no, Israel and France and FBI killed him because he was going to do something to change global politics. Now it's the space-time continuum is at stake. He could see the future. He was going to alter outcomes in the future. They had to protect the integrity of the multiverse. And I don't know. I mean, are people still buying this stuff? But I could tell you one thing. The reason that she's on YouTube when you and I are banned, and remember, you and I both made new channels. When they announced their policy to let everybody back on, you and I both made new channels. We were banned within 24 hours. She is monetized. She is on that platform, monetized, never got banned, nothing, on Twitter with a check mark. I can't get a check mark over there. And I don't think there's ever been an interruption in service for her. And the reason being is because they prefer somebody like that. They prefer somebody that is totally outlandish, that can be discredited, that sounds crazy, over somebody that actually has an ideological. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I totally agree. Well, here's my deal. I always have the corporate media lie about what I said and build a straw man that I did. Or make a gay frog joke, but I did a whole hour with scientists about the chemical and what it does. They ignore all that, but the one joke at the end. So they take your little edgelord thing, and then when you later said I'm joking, sorry, they cut that part off. They know what they're doing. That's what the listeners know we're actually saying versus what's going on. But my listeners are like, look at the Egyptian planes, look to it, fake. And then, okay, this Mitch thing, look him up, obvious con artist, all this stuff's pure crap. I just say, hey, I think you're being set up. I get attacked. Then he has this whole story about his wife breaking his arms and feet and everything with a hammer and on this date. And he's arrested. He's convicted. Videos released of him doing to her what he said she did on the date, everything. And they said, well, we don't care if he did that. Prove he wasn't at Fort Huachuca. I'm like, I'm not denying he was at this magical fort. These people all gave alibis. Well, we don't believe those alibis, even though they're, on C-SPAN, when this is going on, the congressman. And I reached out and I talked to Turning Point USA. They wanted my advice. I knew they were going out to meet her. They gave her all this info, said, please stop. And she doubled down and had Mitch on, to say, by the way, I saw, Erica Kirk there at Huachuca. And then she released her alibi with timestamp, geolocated photos. Not good enough. And we're just like, she's God. You got to bow to her. The arrogance of this. And then I said, okay, that's enough. And then it came out his ex-wife, or I guess they're still married. She'll never show up to court. Literally sends the footage of the day he's arrested, convicted for menacing with a hammer, him beating things, attacking, breaking doors, coming after her in front of the kid, doing what he wouldn't let her leave. She told these shows that she wouldn't let him leave. And they're like, look, he's a total. They go, we don't care. Her own people said, a prominent host said, Jones is Mossad. Listen, we don't care what Mitch Snow did. We have to listen to him. Turn on his military record where he broke his back. None of that's true. And then it came out. He said in early December, I am the son of the Zodiac Killer, and did shows about it and everything. Then when that comes out, they go, oh, they've hacked his account. Alex Jones has done it. And later they go, no, actually, he did interviews about it. They go, well, maybe he is the son of the Zodiac Killer. Plus, he's got the DNA. No one knows who it is. No one has his DNA. But don't worry. Mitch has got his DNA. I mean, it's the classic disinfo to bring him in and then have him say he's Santa Claus and discredit it all. I don't see this being done accidentally. The fact that she fished him out and the fact that she went after RFK Jr. during his confirmation with Mossad and this woman in this car with no proof, and it was hard pushed everybody's phones. And of course, none of it was true. I mean, so I see something there more sinister, Nick. I really do.
I think it's certainly possible. She's at a level where it would be hard to believe that somebody isn't in her ear, especially this stuff with like Brigitte Macron. That doesn't seem random to me. A lot of the things that are coming across her desk, it doesn't seem like that accidentally made its way into her inbox. A lot of that stuff seems like it's, being promoted in some way. So I think you're right about that. I think your hunch is 100% on the money. But it's really been spectacular to see. At one point, I wanted to say, I think she needs to stop. She's damaging the movement. This is really hurting everybody. Now, I almost want her to keep going because I think she's sort of isolating herself. And now she's only damaging herself. I mean, in 2025, she had the rule of the roost. And I thought what she was doing was really irresponsible. I thought it was kind of hurting everybody that ever associated with her or sounds like her. After her show the other day where she said, I'm an alien and Charlie Kirk is a time traveler and he had Sumerian remote viewing technology. I think now everybody is just saying, okay, so this is just a crazy psychopath. This is somebody that has, no clue what she's talking about. So now I kind of want to see it keep going because at a certain point, you have to hope, like you maybe out of faith in humanity, you have to hope that eventually people are going to see this. Like
sure.
The Egyptian plane thing, it was talked about in, 25 different shows she did. It's all fake. She literally just got it all wrong. And the guy did a great YouTube video about it. She comes out and says, well, I'm going to put out an interactive map and I'm going to put it up on my website because we have this. And she just never posted it. And then it's on to the next thing. It was on to the next big diversion, the Mitch thing. Now it's the time traveling. And you go, at one point, do people just look at the logical gaps here, the plot
holes? By the way, I apologize because I feel like, have you ever gone to like a county fair and you eat the cotton candy and then you're vomiting in the parking lot an hour later. I mean, with her, I went and looked at it because listeners wanted me to, and I was shocked. I feel sick looking at it. I haven't looked at her in about a week other than her attacking you. What's going on with the time traveling?
So she did a show and she said that the CIA through Project Looking Glass has access to ancient Sumerian remote viewing technology. She says that Charlie was identified as a gifted child by some sort of shadowy occult force early on, groomed his entire life since he was a little boy to be the head of Turning Point USA. He somehow gained possession over the technology, saw his death in the future and how it would alter the space-time continuum. As I said, you know, at one time this was a story about Turning Point USA. Now Charlie Kirk is a pivotal figure in the multiverse and the space-time continuum. It's a conspiracy concerning.
Just to be clear, I can confirm this. I saw Jay Dyer yesterday with a post about this, and he does satire sometimes. I thought it was a joke. Wow. And again, that's premeditated. She's going for the total lunatic faction. I mean, she is doubling down. Here it is. Charlie Kirk was a time traveler, and then he had agents, yes, like the Matrix, monitoring him from childhood. Wow.
I couldn't believe it either. I read the caption, and I had to watch the video. I said, there's no way she actually said the words, but there it is. I'm an alien. He's a time traveler. You know, what is the limit?
By the way, we'll come back and play that next hour, but let's get Nick Fuentes to the next level. And what that means is, he's saying, oh my God, he's got this Hitler lover. It's a joke, folks. He even says that on the shows. You have to get past being politically correct, okay? That's why black folks saying, kill Whitey, great, enjoy yourself. We just need to get used to not caring and not letting them politically make us correct. Like, you know, get back to the great, comedy stuff that Mel Brooks would put out, like Blazing Saddles. I mean, the left wants that movie banned. Let's just get over it and let's get this stuff on the table and stop it. And that's how I think we move forward as a culture. Not only the left can manipulate us, but you're with Bigley now with your great stuff. And they've had dozens of clients over the years that did great. And I'm obviously their biggest. Let's just leave it at that. But I told them, I said, you got to get Nick on board because, you know, I guarantee you he's going to be really successful. We need to crank Nick up so that hopefully he can expand and get reporters and do something the next level, even if that doesn't what Nick wants to do right now. Maybe he's going to want to do that because I'm going to put it in his ear. And so they're like, ooh, this is very successful. So I'm glad you've got a good company in America printing your stuff, getting it out on time, doing a great job. And they tell me that your stuff is flying off the charts, especially the white boy, you know what. So let's do a little plug for you. You're used to doing this on air. You didn't ask me to do this. I'm doing it. How do people go get all the great Nick Fuentes merch?
Well, it's at Fuentes.store. And yeah, we got a great new partner. We had a lot of issues with some of our supply chains. You know, we're making these hats and we're making shirts. And it's so difficult, especially with the payment issues we've been having. But these guys have been great. So I appreciate if you put in a word for us. But yeah, Fuentes.store, we got a lot of great merch up there. And we're looking at doing some new stuff too, some like consumable type stuff. So we're pretty excited about it. And yeah, we got these. I don't know if I could say, he told me during the break, word I can't say, so I can't say the acronym.
No, go ahead. We don't mean it meanly. Well, it's a white boy, you know, go ahead.
Well, not quite. I don't like white boy. I don't like when people say white boy, but it's more like white something, like another term of endearment, you might say.
The reason I'm asking you to say it is I heard it and I saw it in the shirt, but I can't remember.
That's what it is, okay?
I think black folks, white folks love that. I see all these black folks saying, we love you, white people. We're sick of the illegals, too. You're on niggas, too. I think we all just need to be friends, right?
They do. They love it. And it's funny because I have a clip from my show where I say, Wang half, and black people post edits of themselves on Instagram to the audio. So everybody loves it. And it's a message, like you said, we're not politically correct. You know, we are out there and white people, you know, we have space in the country too. You know, we have to start sticking up for ourselves. And I think black people, well, everybody
respects that. Like you said, I'll give it to black people. They respect that, actually.
They do.
The average black person is actually the most politically incorrect person ever.
That's true. Yeah, they're not, you know, they're not used to that. White people have kind of been cowed and shamed and bullied. Black people are going hard because there's no rules for them already. So they're just kind of like, hey, welcome to the club.
Yeah. Now, let me do a plug because I need funds. I'm fighting the Democrats. Our civil rights suit will be filed imminently. We've had a lot of good stuff to it. And we are winning here, but we can only do it because of you. Go to thealexshowstore.com, also powered by Bigly, all of our great T-shirts, Patriot apparel. And today is a lot of new products, a big sale is about to end. The ultramethylene blue, all of it is game-changing. I'm only going to sell you stuff. Yeah, war cry smelling salts. I didn't know how hot this is to make you think, get your brain boosted before you work out, whatever. I didn't know this was all crazy. We got the best smelling salts ever, war cry. The only problem with this product is there's no planned obsolescence. This thing will probably last 10 years, so you buy one bottle, you're done forever. Get your war cry at thealexshowstore.com. We'll be back with Nick Fuentes.
Sold out to it. They're blind. They're cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry said, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. Kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light. Louisiana Saturday night. Waiting in the front yard, sitting on a log, a single-shot rifle and a one-eyed dog. Yonder come our kinfolk in the moonlight, Louisiana Saturday night. Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow, kick off your shoes.
All right, I think you got an hour left and a lot to cover. I want to play this as the same clip that I thought was a joke when you said it. And then I remembered, wait, I saw Jay and I were talking about that. I thought it was a joke. Now during the break, I was watching it. I mean, I'm not even trying to be mean, folks. And you know I'm not an infighter. I boost everybody I think's good. I want to beat the globalists. They're trying to put me in prison. It's okay. I don't see this world as a competition intellectually. I see it as a competition. Our ideas becoming the dominant force and winning. But just briefly, this is something you hit on, and people need to understand this. You're a natural, and I've been a natural in that I was drawn to this. It's all I ever wanted to do. No one tried to get me into politics. No one tried to get me to read political books or military books. I just couldn't stay away from it. Same thing with you since you were, like you said, 12. And people looked at the record. You're in newspapers when you're 13 about politics. Your pedigree is real, out of the dirt. You know, real grassroots. All these new people coming in, we're not in competition with them. We want to take over and fix things, but we're in competition with their lies, their amateurism, and the fact that they're trying to shut us down. Because they're operating from a place of wanting to be dominant themselves, not intellectually dominant. So we'll just in this few minutes we have this short segment. Some stations don't carry it, but I'm going to put it on X later and Rumble. quantify that, because I'm kind of putting my words to your words about the facts. Like, oh, geez, need to be respected because we have the pedigree to prove it being right and where we came from. We didn't just show up. Nobody should ever just trust people that suddenly just show up.
Well, and it's not even just that, although that's totally true. It's just about, are you getting it right? You know, because for me, it's not about the personalities. I love to disagree with people, and I love to collab with people and promote people that are, like you said, we want our ideas to win. We want America First to prevail. But where I started to have a problem with some of these types is they started to put out this stuff about the Frankists. It's a big Frankist conspiracy. And then the Charlie Kirk stuff. And you start to say, okay, so I have no problem, like you said, with newcomers. We want to promote newcomers. We want fresh blood, and we want energy, and we want excitement. We want a big tent. I used to run AFPAC. Now I'm thinking maybe it's not the best idea with all the violence going on. Who knows the future of it? But we used to put on a convention every year where we brought in everybody that we could, everybody that was even adjacent or remotely on the same page to speak, because we want the movement to be as big as possible. But like you said, it's a very, I think you said it a great way. We're not in competition with them. It's with their lies that are actually hurting the integrity of the movement and what we're doing. It's not about gatekeeping our share of the pie. It's about, we need to protect the integrity of the message. And that comes with, you know, whether it's these left-wing types, that comes whether it's these Islamist types, the conspiracy cranks, the message needs to be America First, and it needs to be factual. Because, you know, a good friend of mine used to say this, Keith Woods, I'm doing his thing, I think, next week. Our biggest superpower is that we have the truth. We don't have the giant budget that they have. We don't have the grip on power that they have. But the one most powerful weapon that we have in our arsenal, whether we're censored or intimidated, harassed, whatever, is that we are right. We have the truth. We are telling the truth. And the second that you start to compromise that weapon by lying, by being irresponsible, by being reckless, by having some other motivation, well, then you're taking yourself out of the game. You sabotage your credibility. You sabotage yourself. You sabotage the whole movement. And then we're no better than the other side. I mean, what's the difference if they're pushing some ridiculous fantasy narrative and we're doing something else? Well, at least they're doing it with a bigger budget and better clothes, you know. So I didn't get into this because I wanted to be the number one show. I'm not an Oprah wannabe. I got into it because I wanted to tell the truth, and we need to guard against people that have any other motivation. We have to protect the integrity.
And like I said, my listeners are like, look into the planes, look into this bitch snow, and I went, it was like instant horse crap, and I'm like, hey, I think you're being lied to, shut up, Israel. And I'm like, you're insulting my intelligence. Okay, I'll be proven right. And, of course, we've been proven right. This Mitch Snow guy is a flaming con man who she still defends. We'll be right back.
We're going to make it, men!
Now, look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Hello, friends. Welcome to my home. We have all kinds of supplements.
Sometimes we have BOGO Sups.
We're always coming out with new products, and this is one of my favorites. You can shop for all of our supplements and apparel right here on the phone app.
Front lines of the information war. It's Alex Jones.
To Nick maybe once a month on the phone, maybe once a week text messages, and I say that because with Candace Owens, her whole MO is, has anyone communicated about her? And she makes her listeners and other talk show hosts send me all your text messages to prove you haven't been plotting against me, and they send them to her, and she's like, well, you ask a question, you are now excommunicado. I mean, it's the way she set herself up as this authority. And so she's kind of patient zero of this, boosted by big tech, while she says we're the establishment and we're Israeli operatives out to get her. And so I don't have something to get her. My listeners a few months ago said, as I said, hey, Alex, you need to look into this Egyptian plane. Why aren't you covering it? And I'd heard that since day one. I said, well, I kind of looked into it. And then, well, about this Mitch Snow. So I instantly go look his name up. And there's videos of him saying, my ex-wife, 2016, took the keys, wouldn't let me leave. She'd already pulled my arm out and beat me bad, had the dogs mauling my son. And she locked me in this dungeon and broke my hands and legs with a hammer. And then the police run her control. And so I go look it up. He's got a conviction for it. And then she releases video of she can't leave. He's got a hammer attacking. And then it's just like, oh, and we're like, hey, can't. It's just like, what does it matter what he does in his personal life? That has nothing to do with whether he was at Wachuca. I mean, the first thing is the credibility. The date he's arrested, he says this. The wife releases footage of what she said happening. And her surrogates, I've never been so attacked. I loved it. I went, ooh, I like this. You're over. We're going to get you. We're going to go after your sponsors. We're going to have just like. And it got worse and worse and worse. So I kind of swore it off about a week and a half ago because, I mean, I had a lot of serious stuff to cover and research. And I'm spending hours a day researching her lies and feeling crazy while I'm doing it, like getting mad and depressed for the first time ever and, like, starting to really hate her face and, like, oh, God, I don't notice how evil she is and just how she looks like a demon, like a big gremlin. And then I started noticing all the other lies she was telling. And I was like, oh, my God. I asked friends and family. I actually prayed about it. I said, should I disengage? And most people are like, yeah, just the people will figure it out. So I'm like, I'm going to disengage. But Nick's coming on. You know, he was on vacation for 2 weeks. So he said he'd come on after. I said, well, we'll do this last time. And then today I'm like, he's like, yeah, the time traveling and the looking glass. And I'm like, you're joking, right? And then I go look it up. It's all true. It's just like, well, so after today, unless there's just something I've got to do, because you know, Nietzsche said, don't look at the abyss too long, you turn into the abyss, or don't fight monsters too long, you turn into them. I'm swearing her off because it's like watching a satanic soap opera. And so after today, you notice last few weeks, I barely mentioned her. I'm done. And I even saw Nick on one of his shows before he left town. He just said, I'm not even responding. You guys want to call me a Fed or Israeli for saying she's full of crap? F you, I'll be vindicated. And I just need to be like Nick and just say, his wisdom of 26 is better than mine at 52 is, you know what? I'm done. Fine. You want to believe it? Just do it. In fact, she's right. Mitch is right. Charlie's a time traveler. And I'm done. But we do need to put bookends on it right now. Before we play this clip, you want to make any comments on that, Nick?
Well, I would just say, no, I think we need to push for accountability. I think we need to press the advantage. This Egyptian plane thing got debunked. She said she's putting up an interactive map.
Nick, 2 weeks ago was done. So I guess I'm kind of where you were 2 weeks ago.
Well, I don't know what I said 2 weeks ago. I forget. But
said,
I think
done.
I said
I'm not talking about her. She's totally insane. It's all a waste of time. But now, so you think we should press the attack?
Certainly. Yeah. I mean, because where we left off, she had just gotten debunked on the Egyptian planes. We thought this evidence was going to come out. And now it's clear this is a diversion. This is her next big diversion. She got totally blown out on the thing that she hung her hat on, which was the Egyptian planes. She hung her hat on that. Tucker even said, and I know that for a fact, I know that the Egyptian plane thing is real. Okay, so explain to us how all of the information is wrong then. He did 25 shows on it. Tucker says he knows, just like he knows I'm a Fed, he knows that's real. So how did you know it if she got all the information wrong? Where's her interactive map? So no, I don't think we can let her get away with the, oh, well, now we're just going to talk about Mitch. Oh, now we're going to talk about aliens and just into the next diversion. No, I think she stumbled on that one. And I think now people need to demand, because she called me out today. Now she's coming after me, that she's making me part of the diversion. Her stuff is crashing and burning. So now out of a clear blue sky, I wake up today, she's on a full blown attack. I don't have a blue check mark. I only have 280 characters. She's writing essays about me.
He says I have a subterranean. I didn't know about this. I'm just now learning. She's, quote, accusing you of covering up that Satan doesn't exist. All you do is talk about the fight between God and Satan.
It doesn't matter. She lies. She has no regard for the truth. But now this is part of her diversion. Now all the, you know, now that her information didn't work out, she's going to turn the attack outward on everybody else.
Were you at Fort Huachuca?
Yeah, I was there with Cabot Phillips and Elvis Presley and Jeffrey Epstein and Charlie Kirk. We were all hanging out.
Did you see the part where she goes to Mitch, hey, was this guy from Daily Wire there? And, and she gives him the photo and he goes, yeah, he was too.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I love that. It's like you Instacart whoever you want.
Well, and here's the best. So then Cabot Phillips, the editor of Daily Wire, he texts them and says, no, I was actually in Nashville that day. I was shopping. Here's a picture of me. Here's my receipt, blah, blah, blah. And then they said, well, you edited the metadata. Edited the metadata of the photo. And then he says, no, here's the metadata. I sent the original picture. They said, well, that can be faked. It's like, okay, so what? And by the way, if you respond to the text message, you're in on it. If you don't respond to the text message, you're in on it. If you debunk it, it's part of the conspiracy. If you don't, it's because it's true. You know, it's just like a completely post-truth, post-rationality thing.
A few weeks ago, she said, why are they giving me alibis? I didn't ask for those. And then it cuts to her demanding him. The guy's on C-SPAN. They lie and say he's not there at 2:45. He's there at 11 a.m., which is 8 a.m. at Huachuca. And they just can't. So yeah. Well, what I was being serious, though. It makes me feel insane following her. I didn't know about this time travel thing. Now I know it's true. So I guess we do continue to cover this. But I don't. Here's what made me feel like I was going crazy. Her listeners, no matter how crazy it was, would still agree with it. Like, first they said, oh, this is fake. Mitch's dad wasn't the Zodiac Killer. He didn't say that. Then when he confirmed, no, it's true, they went, well, his dad is a Zodiac Killer. I mean, it's like, who are these people? Like, they're the most, how did she get the most gullible people on earth? I don't understand it, because I want the smart people.
They're like, they're just victims of the Matrix. These are like psychic casualties of the Matrix. They have lost all discernment from being lied to and red-pilled and blue-pilled. And the reason it makes you feel crazy is because she's like a typical crazy broad. And if you deal with a crazy broad, all they do is gaslight. All they do is manipulate, lie, make you second guess yourself. You know, you got to go back to the tape. And so you deal with a crazy broad long enough, you start to feel crazy.
You don't know about women. You say you haven't been with a bunch of women. You sound like an expert.
Well, let's just say I'm a student of human nature. Okay. I'm very perceptive.
Well, let me tell you about the unicorns. The hotter and the better in bed, the crazier in the head. Good in bed, you know, crazy in the head, good in bed. No, you talk about gaslighting masters. It's the cliche is true. The better looking a woman, the crazier they are. And they will, it's something else. I'm trying to be mean, but God almighty. It's true.
That's what it is. That's what it is. You know, so you can't, it's like you said, staring into the abyss, dealing with a crazy broad. So you kind of just need to rise above and be amused by it. You can't, because that's their little trick. They try to get you irritated. They throw a little wrench in there. And so as a guy, you got to just maintain the frame, you know, PUA 101.
My dad always told me, he said, listen, women are amazing. I shouldn't say this. But he said, you got to treat them all like they're 5 years old. And it's not that they're stupid. He said, he goes, when they try to manipulate you, get you mad, you got to make it a joke or you just got to leave. And that's what they want, though, because they'll try it. And then when you make it a joke back at them and laugh at them, then they just laugh. But if you buy into it, then it's like, God, I should write a book. You should write a book. Nothing against, you know, the Tate brothers, you know, big tough guys, all that stuff. They've been proven innocent. I like them. But, you know, they're kind of for little kids that be kind of overly tough He-Man stuff, which I get. Kids are all disempowered, so they need to kind of get the extreme version. To me, though, there's real techniques in life that I never even really used, but I learned, like, if I had implemented this stuff, it'd been so easy. Like, just laugh at a woman when she's trying to mind control you, and they just disintegrate. So how did you learn that without dating or without, you know, being out there?
Well, I've been dealing with these feminists on the right and on the left forever, you know, because I go on my show and I think I have a fairly traditional disposition. And you just get there is a huge problem on the right wing of very feminist women. We all know it. They claim to be traditional Christians. They claim to be conservative, and they are the bossiest boss B words. I know you're on radio, so I don't want to swear. You know, usually on my show, I'm pretty, they're bossy boss bitches, but they come in the form of, I'm wearing my sundress. I'm picking berries in the garden. I'm a traditional woman. I'm a traditional wife. And they're boss bitches. And so I've been dealing with that for like 10 years. And they gaslight you and say, oh, well, you're a little incel. Oh, well, she called me a theater kid. Well, you're this and that. It's like, no, I'm just a traditional man. And I'm not here in the traditional movement to get bossed around and talked down to and finger wagged by some woman who isn't even my wife. So you deal with that long enough and you just start to wisen up. Because, you know, it's like I said, it is the gaslighting. It is. You're so right about that. The pickup artistry is one thing, but it is so real that there is just a small little bag of tricks. They're not complicated. There's not a lot of them. And they do really just work every time because it's about human nature. And with women, you know, that's very true. Like laughing at them and just kind of knowing what they're about, what their motivations are. That's very true. And you learn it very quickly dealing with them in a romantic context, in a professional context, political context. You met one of them, you met them all. You know, they all kind of act the same way on some level.
There's some really amazing women, and when you're not in a relationship with them, like your mother or grandmother, then you get the real wisdom of a woman. But when it becomes between a man and a woman, there's definitely primal manipulations. But let's be honest, women have got their problems. Men have gotten really stupid, really lazy, and have the Peter Pan syndrome. So why don't we talk about the problems with men a little bit since we're there?
I don't know. I feel like we talk enough about the problems of men. I feel like there's always this like both sides kind of thing.
Yeah, but not the fake arguments. Like you say, get in shape, have a destiny, be strong. You're powerful. You have a will. That's not the left criticism. I like your criticism. Your criticism is get up, get on your feet, Marine.
Yeah, because men need to be talked up and women need to be humbled. That's the difference. Men need to be encouraged because men are not taking the leadership. Men don't feel like they are in a position to lead. So men need to be encouraged. Men need to be sort of ascended. I'm in favor of this ascension idea, you know, looks maxing, getting in shape, getting your money up, getting that bag. Women need to be humbled. Women do need to be humbled because women are becoming like men and they think they're the boss and they think they're in charge and one is humbling them.
Fat lesbians everywhere trying to attack ICE. They literally show up like they're super soldiers.
And she got humbled real quick. She had that look on her face like all women do. There's never any accountability. They don't live in the real world. They think actions don't have consequences. And so her and the lesbian, drive, baby, drive. Okay, come and get me. Okay, get mag dumped in the face. How about that for a little accountability?
You just ran into a combat veteran. Obviously, you got a lot of PTSD and 10 years ICE and just run over and drop 300 feet with stitches all over his body. And he's saying, get out. She rams him. He's got internal bleed. He pulls the trigger. He's not happy he did it. But like, that's a real person, lady. He ain't LARPing. You just attacked a warrior and he killed you.
Yeah, blew her away. You know, she effed around. She found out. But that's the thing.
Well,
women.
I don't go to the zoo and climb over the fence and get in the thing with the lions. I mean, you know, it's what she did.
Well, and everybody talks about, is it justified? Was she in retreat? She's blocking a law enforcement vehicle with her car. She's surrounded. She's given an order to exit the vehicle. She hits the gas. I don't care what the explanation is. We can't start in the middle of the story. What's she doing in the middle of the road? At that point, you forfeit your life. You're interfering with law enforcement. You're refusing commands. You're going to run over the guy or try to flee. Is that really even better?
Yeah, I mean, if she had to hit him, you'd say questionable. I get it. But he bounces off the car. And then the
right.
corporate
yeah,
media won't show it.
Yeah, the first person footage is not even ambiguous. You know, he gets struck. That's very clear, you know, but that you could see from the pictures of her and even her in that video, she's got this big, stupid look on her face. And it's like you're in danger. You're being told an order by law enforcement. And she's got that big, dumb look on her face. She didn't even know where she's
and
at.
Let's
and
be clear,
I feel
it's
like that
like she's messing with the local, you know, social justice cops that do PR at the high school. She's going out with, like, the guys that will sign on for the most dangerous, no-thanks job that are all, like, veteran cops and military, obviously the PTSD brigade, not the group of guys I'm going to start a fight with. Unless probably not the guys you want to start a fight with the bar either.
No, but that's just it. I mean, they always have that bewildered expression. These women these days, the feminist types, boss bitches, they push. And they're so used to never facing accountability that when finally they get punched back, shot, whatever, like in this case, then it's shock, horror, outrage, you know. But listen, saving Western civilization starts with humbling these people, putting them in check. We can't have the world run by completely unaccountable women. And that's really what it is. You can never hold them accountable because they're weak, because they're, you know,
well, they're believing weaker. Hollywood, which we know for 20 years has ESG laws, regulations where women must be the boss. Women must win all the fights. And I don't mind having women where they win fights in movies, but every movie, she kicks 50 dudes' asses. She kills the alien. It's all made to literally make these women believe this crap.
Yeah, well, I like the new Batman that came out a few years ago. Catwoman tries to fight him, and he just throws her into the ground. It's like, how about some realism? But that's the thing. You can't hold them accountable because people are always making excuses. Oh, it's her parents. Oh, it's her husband. Oh, it's her boyfriend. It's her father. Oh, well, she didn't know what she was doing. And it's like, okay, so if a person can't be held accountable, she can't have any authority. She can't have any power. If you can't be held accountable for your actions, then your range of actions has to be limited by people that can be held accountable. And that's literally at the heart of why the civilization is dying. On some level, that's a huge part of it. And women like this one that got shot by ICE, like, they're the worst of the worst. That's why I was surprised when so many people said it was such a tragedy. I said, that's not a tragedy. That's a start.
There's the insanity of, let's go out when we see federal people doing a dangerous operation. Let's run up and get in their face during that. I mean, it's so, I'm tough, but I'm not looking to die. It's so stupid.
Yeah, well, but they're so bold. That's just it. No consequences. Decades of no accountability, no consequences, and they think there's no rules. It's a big free-for-all. She's defending illegals that shouldn't be here, stealing money that isn't theirs, and she tries to veto law enforcement by throwing herself in front of a cop car. Okay, well, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. It's got to start somewhere. You know, we got to start enforcing the rules. So I'm with you, though. I would never be in that situation. You think about a traffic stop. Nobody would pull that stuff on a traffic stop. Why would you think it's okay to pull that with federal law enforcement? You know, it's totally insane. So we got to restore some sense of order to the country. Starts with
it's
that.
It's like sticking your hand at the zoo into a lion's den. I mean, and punching the lion in the nose a couple times. I mean, it's not going to go well. So finishing up with this one, come back with the Owens, just a larger political thing, and Trump and the geopolitics. Amazing interview, Nick. What do you predict is going to happen? Because clearly it's the Podesta plan, the plan for civil war. They admit it. They're saying, kill them, get your guns. They're not real. They're Gestapo. Last night, a bunch of TDA Venezuelans beat up the ICE guy by himself with shovels. He shoots one in the leg to get away. They then rob federal vehicles, steal the list of the employees, steal machine guns, rifles. And it's not even on the news. Tim Walz is like, oh, God, we're under attack. They're knocking door to door to find the brown people. I mean, they're going whole hog. What does Trump need to do? Declare the Insurrection Act?
Yes, declare the Insurrection Act and get the DOJ to charge these people with sedition. If we could identify all 1,600 people in the Capitol that got charged with geolocation and bank records and facial recognition, why can't we do it with every rioter in Minneapolis? Why can't we do it with every person that's chasing ICE in Chicago? You have to go in and crack down hard with federal law, because if you don't, you're emboldening these people. And what's going to happen next is someone is going to go and attack ICE. And it's going to be a mass casualty event. Everybody knows it's coming. Everybody knows that's the next step because it's been building towards that. They're firebombing ICE detention facilities and raiding them. They're blocking in ICE vehicles with 10 cars while they're armed. ICE officers are getting shot at. It happened to be the case in Texas. They only shot the illegal aliens they were detaining. But nevertheless, they tried to shoot at ICE. So it is coming. And some lunatic saw Renee Good got shot. I'm sure some tranny-loving lunatic far-left nut job saw that happen, and they started planning an attack that has not yet come to fruition. And I'm not willing, I don't want that to happen. I'm not putting that out there because I desire it. You're just dumb if you don't see where this is going. It will escalate because they're emboldened, and they're emboldened because they think they could get away with it. They're emboldened because there's no repercussions.
And by the way, the mayor of Minnesota, Fry, kind of patient zero in this, he said 2 weeks ago, don't come here, you're going to die. Because they kept hoping they'd kill somebody. It didn't happen for 11 months. So then they shifted, well, now we're going to kill you. So they upped the amount of aggression and finally got what they wanted. It's so transparent, Nick.
It is so. And you're right. They do want it. They do want a confrontation because they want to galvanize their supporters. They know. And it's true. Look, the economy grew in the last quarter of 2025. The job picture is not so great. Inflation seems to be stabilizing. So the economy is a little bit of a mixed bag. It actually looks like with some of the redistricting, Republicans, they might not get utterly destroyed here. Democrats know they need to win a big majority so they can impeach everybody in the government. This is the playbook. They want to ratchet up the tension. They want to ratchet up the conflict because that activates their base. They want to get their base out, you know, by the millions in the midterms to go and show up and vote a blue wave so that they could shut down the administration. It's very obvious. And J.B. Pritzker, Brandon Johnson in Illinois and Chicago are doing this. Jacob Frey and Tim Walz are doing this in Minnesota. All these Democrats are doing that, and they know what they're doing. And they are chaos agents. So I think they should be held accountable too. You know, the government should come in and tell them, look, you got to be careful with what you say, because this is getting close to sedition. Federal law enforcement has constitutional jurisdiction to enforce the immigration laws in these cities. If you're impeding that, you're calling on a mob to go and attack law enforcement. That is seditious. And that's like, maybe people are uncomfortable crossing that line, but it's us or them at this point. You know, we're always fighting with two arms.
Let's talk about that when we come back. It's time to go nuclear, break the glass with the fire axe metaphysically. It's time to abolish the filibuster. It's time to declare the insurrection. They keep saying he's going to declare martial law because it's the only thing they're worried about, because they're going to push it and push it and push it. And they think they're going to get a race war with their blue cities and the police they control to actually win. That is the Podesta plan. That is the movie Civil War. That is one battle after another. And I keep telling you, they're going to do it, and now they're doing it. That's why we have to get ahead of this, and only strength will deal with this, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Republic. This is Trump's not perfect, but he's light years better than the Democrats, trying to reassert our sovereignty. We'll finish up with this, finish up with Owens, because I already covered it, but I want to show the clips because I said it. I want you to actually see it, because we don't just say something and I'll show it. Then we'll talk about geopolitics with Nick J. Fuentes. Find him on Rumble. DJ Fuentes there. He comes on weeknights, whenever he feels like it. And I'm just kidding. He's got to get a set time. But anyways, I'm a little neurotic about that. But we'll be right back on the other side. I'm Alex Jones. Infowars.com/show. Dan.video. Follow me on X at Real Alex Jones. And support us at TheAuctionStore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now, a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new products, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. It dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching
and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart, and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalist. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Yeah, I apologize, folks, about the laryngitis. It's painless, so my voice is a little bit better today. It should be probably good by, like, Sunday, but don't worry. I'll be here tomorrow.
Waging war on corruption, it's Alex Jones.
You know, I was talking to Nick earlier. He said, yeah, he never really gets sick. He was sick in December and now again even has a fever but still came on. I got sick at like Thanksgiving with the throat like this. I never got a fever. It's been nonstop. Most of my family, most of the crew, and a lot of people think they've released some new COVID. They're not calling it that. Side issue, Nick, what do you think's going on? They even admit the hospitals are full. This stuff, usually colloidal silver and oregano and turmeric knocks it out. I've not really felt bad, but still, I've been coughing, my lungs. What's been happening to you?
Well, I got the influenza A around Christmas time, and it was brutal. I mean, it knocked me down for like 5 days. Couldn't even get out of bed. A body aches, chills, really high fever, like a 103 degree fever. It really, really bad. And it took me a while to get over it. And then now I got some new virus. No major symptoms, body aches, chills, fever again, but no cough, no congestion, anything like that. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm like you. I mean, I rarely get sick. And when I do, it's very mild. But this year, I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff going around. I'm hearing it's norovirus, adenovirus, flu's really bad. I hear COVID's somewhat mild, but I don't know what's going on. But you're right. They're saying the hospitals are full. Everybody's being hospitalized over this. There's been some pediatric death from flu. So I don't know what exactly they're putting out there. But
well, I haven't had fever, but I still work out. I'll just get chills and start sweating and, you know, and it'll go away for a few days, come back. So definitely something going on. All right. We were hitting something important before the break, and I went off joking around during the break on some other issues. I know what it was. Charlotte, who works here, my oldest daughter, wonderful person, she comes in during the break. She says, Dad, you're bashing girls, saying we're all like five-year-old mentally. That's not what I said. I said, when a woman in your relationship with them, it's a little different. You're my daughter. I said, with your moms and daughters, it's totally different. But a man and woman both have their weird dynamics. Men do stuff that's wrong, too, I was saying. It is like you make a joke or you talk to them like they're five and kind of think about the argument at that level. For whatever reason, that disarms them. That's a well-known thing. That was not saying women are five-year-olds mentally. I'm saying when it gets into mindless discussions, it's for whatever reason, that's kind of our good rule of thumb. So you want to respond to that, Nick?
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I mean, me, I take a much more aggressive posture on that sort of thing. I mean, I think that I don't want to offend your daughter if your daughter's right there watching the show. But no, I think that women are like children. I defer to Schopenhauer on this one. I think they are somewhere between children and men in terms of kind of where their mindset is at. And I don't know that your female audience is going to love that. Women don't love when I say that, but you know, that's why I'm, I guess that's why I'm single. I guess that's why I'm a bachelor. So,
but things have gotten better since we let them vote.
Oh, things are much better since we gave women the vote. It has been a remarkable success story. And all you have to do is look at the history. The country's so much better off. Well, that was kind of when I realized something was wrong, because I realized they vote for the wrong person every time. If only women voted, it would have been Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. If only men voted, it would be like, you know, Trumpler. It would be.
But
Donald,
let's be
Trumpler
fair. It's like 60% are like that. There's, I know a lot of women that are more, you know, smarter than most men I know. You know, there's Charlotte. Charlotte, put her back on screen. What's up with JD Vance? What's going on? Oh my God. Charlotte's got a crush on you, Nick. She told me that about a month ago.
She's doing the Trump middle finger.
We're gonna do an arranged marriage right now. Charlotte Jones and Nick Fuentes. We'll have little Manchichi babies.
That'll be a power couple. Little, methylene blue, turmeric, unstoppable force.
Charlotte, get in here. I'm going to marry you off in an arranged marriage to Fuentes. Get in here now. See the great control I have around here. Andrew Tate be like, you don't need to have a shock collar. Bzz, bzz, bzz. All right, I'm going to stop. No, getting serious. Speaking about who needs a shock collar. No, I shouldn't go there. She'll say it's true. It's a coded Illuminati threat. It's probably her husband actually wearing the shock collar. But seriously, Candace Owens, I don't like to say stuff without showing it. Here she is. I didn't understand this. Now Charlie Kirk is a time traveler. And the guy they sent back to the future to try to save him is Mitch Snow. Here it is.
Why did Charlie think he was a time traveler? He said, as I showed you in earlier messages, that he was a time traveler and he had to find me. Is that just something people are saying to their homies in text messages? And again, not anything that I would have placed so much emphasis on back when he was saying it, but it came to fruition. The other parts, he did die young. Why did he think that him dying young was necessary in order to change things? He did die young. It is related to Turning Point USA. In some way or another, at the very least, we could all agree it's related to him speaking at a campus event for Turning Point USA. I'm totally occupied by this. I tell you, I read these messages and I'm going, what is this? What is reality, actually? And Charlie died. Yes, like I said, it was related to this organization. And I think we would all agree that his death and the manner that they did it changed the world in ways that I don't think we can fully realize, or certainly not in a way that I can articulate. You just cannot pretend that all of this is one big unhappy coincidence. It's entirely plausible, I think plausible, that they knew something about Charlie. And that's why they had him marked and had him monitored and had him likely followed since he was young. And maybe they thought, like the agents think, that if they swarmed him and they stayed with him and they pretended to be his friend, that ultimately they could control Charlie and perhaps change an outcome. They could literally change an outcome related to Charlie. So when for the first time in his life, because I do believe he was managed, I mean, I've already said I was handled. I didn't recognize that I had agents. And for the first time in his life, Charlie peeks his head up and starts to push back in a meaningful way. They couldn't stop him from becoming bigger. That seemed to be inevitable. But they panicked. They seemed to have panicked, right? I mean, this is just starting to happen within a year. When Charlie's going like, hey, man, I don't actually think this. I don't actually believe this. And then he goes, you know what? Take the money. Take the money out of the organization. And they panicked. They freaked out. And their solution was, no, just kill him. Just kill him. We can't have this.
I'm going to say this. I challenge her to do a drug test. I will do one with her. You will find nothing but nicotine and alcohol, and very little alcohol, a lot of nicotine. Candace, I want to say it, watching that, you can't fake crazy. That looks like Adderall-fueled schizophrenia to me.
Yeah, well, it's clearly some form of psychosis. That was my first thought. It's like, you almost can't even blame her. Like, this is literally just psychosis at this point. You could see it in her eyes. You could see it in those. It, like, she is totally sincere. She's totally authentic. She believes in what she's saying. And it's the craziest stuff I've ever heard. I mean, and you know, we get into a lot of far-fetched stuff and conspiracies, and we like to speculate and do this sort of an intellectual exercise or something.
But we don't know. We'll say we don't know. And there's, you know.
Right, but to lay it down and say, well, no one just says they're a time traveler, so the claim is that Charlie was a real time traveler, traveling through time, using technology, and so
and
when they were telling each other—
And now he's got agents watching him, because she did too.
Yeah, well, and she goes, I'm an alien, he's a time traveler. She said at the beginning of the clip, you don't just tell your homies you're a time traveler. What's the implication? You don't tell your friends you're a time traveler if you aren't actually literally a time traveler. So if Charlie's saying, I think I'm a time traveler, he means I'm literally traveling through time. And it's like, so, but she believes it. She says it.
Well,
she
also, you're
it.
A major public figure with the left making songs and saying, we're going to kill you. And you say, gee, they may kill me. That doesn't mean you're a time traveler.
Well, and we all say that. We all recognize that this is the game we're in. We all recognize people get thrown in jail and assassinated. It happens all the time. I've said that to people. I'm sure you've said that to people. Oh, they're going to kill me. Oh, if I keep saying this, they're going to... People say it's just the parlance in this kind of world, and it turns into, well, if he said he's a time traveler, we shouldn't discount the possibility that he's manipulating the space-time continuum. And I've always said about her, you can never discount the possibility that she's just really that dumb. Everybody thinks it's so much more complicated. You can never discount the possibility she's just dumb. Even in the clip, she says, I've been really occupied with this. It's like, did you mean like preoccupied? Like, and you hear this sort of stuff. If you watch her show enough, it's all the time. The wrong word, wrong pronunciation. She just really doesn't have it all together. She says it's all a big coincidence. I'm sorry, what coincides with what here? You know, for there to be a coincidence, that means that two things must be happening together. There has to be things that coincide. What coincides here between the French, the time travelers, the Egyptian? There is no coincidence here. A person was shot by a left-wing partisan, or at least that's a suspect in custody, and Occam's razor, that's what it looks like
and
to
then
be.
And he shows up in a trans flag tie, celebrating. But expanding on that, then they say, we don't want to investigate it. No, we do want to investigate it. We both had questions. My only issue is that the big tech is pushing her. That's not denied. They want us to hear this message, and she's not above asking questions. Here's a clip. Nick Fuentes fires back at people, Candace, labeling him a pedophile, and then she's out saying that you don't believe Satan's real. You're telling people don't believe in Satan. She doesn't show a clip of this. This is getting even more bonker. Here it is.
But what I said, and the point that I'm making about Epstein, people are getting caught up in the sensationalism of pedophile, pedophile. And I said this last year when the story broke, I said the exact same thing. I said, yes, they are sex crimes. Obviously, it is human trafficking. Obviously, according to the law, it is statutory rape. But it is in the service of a blackmail ring for intelligence. It is important not to lose sight of that. And this is a category error. People say you're a pedo protector. But Trump is not protecting pedophiles because they're pedophiles. He's protecting sex criminals because they are a part of a subversive intelligence network. That's the point. And I said that in July, and I said that when there was more... urgency.
By the way,
and
pause, back it up 2 seconds. This is what I've been saying 18 years. He ran an airfield. He was Mossad, MI6, CIA. Lex Wexner, we already know. It doesn't get Trump off the hook when I said a year ago he's going to cover it up for Israel and the CIA and the royal family. And I was right. But there's no evidence of him doing it to kids. And people don't care. They want the moralization to say, no, you're covering up. No, I gave you the answer because what I do is tell you the truth. Like, buy silver, it's going to double the next few years. Go back to Nick Fuentes.
Intelligence network. That's the point. And I said that in July, and I said that when there was more urgency for the files to be released in the fall. I said, let's not get too hung up on the sensational details of the actual sex crime, because this is not just about somebody was trafficking girls somewhere. That's not the story. The story is someone was trafficking girls to acquire blackmail to sell to Israel. That is the point. And that is what I said last night. I said, for someone to make it all about pedophilia, I said, it's kind of just like, it's not really true because, again, it does get away from what's happening there. It is not satanic pedophilia cult stuff. It is really run-of-the-mill prostitution and sex trafficking, but for a international political purpose. And it's important not to lose sight of that. I saw Marjorie Greene say this is about female victims. It's actually not about female victims. It's about the integrity of our government. You understand the difference? It's not to say we're not sympathetic. It's not to say that it's not criminal. It's not to say that it's good. I'm not defending it. I'm saying this is not Dateline. This is not a human interest story. This is a layered crime. It's one crime in the furtherance of a much more politically significant crime. But all these dumbasses, I mean, they literally just don't have the IQ to understand that. For them, it's just about screeching about the same nonsense every day. They don't understand what they're talking about. They have no idea about anything.
Yeah, let's stop there. You can see the full clip on his Rumble. And that is so correct. It's exactly what I say. We're not like calling up comparing notes. It makes all the guys screwing underage girls more guilty. He's saying what it is. What's the mothership? Intelligence agencies, money laundering, buying off politicians. The girls are like beer nuts at the bar. They're just an hors d'oeuvre. It doesn't lessen it. We're telling you what it is. And notice the corporate media doesn't want that. They want to leave it just at one level. No, we're telling you the big thing. They don't want you to know. And then she's calling you. You don't believe in Satan because you said this particularly isn't a satanic operation. It's a intelligence operation now confirmed in the new documents that came out. And then we're bad for showing it's much worse.
Well, it's like I said, it's part of her latest diversion, which is to get off the subject of her destroyed credibility, which is crashing and burning. And, you know, with regard to this, like, you're denying about Satanism and blah, blah. In her post, of course, she ties it into Brigitte Macron. It's Jeffrey Epstein, Brigitte Macron, this, that, and the other. And here's the difference. We are talking about something that is real, something that is happening to the country. What was Epstein's role? He was probably an intelligence mercenary, actually.
Well, it's now confirmed he was working for all the governments, ran a huge airline.
Exactly. And meaning he was probably acquiring blackmail to sell to Israeli intelligence, to British intelligence, to American intelligence. Maybe had some special ties to Israel through Ghislaine Maxwell. That's probably
his dad.
The case.
Yeah.
Right. All that being said, this has to do with the integrity of our elites and our system. If you have Trump and Clinton and other people on the plane, and the purpose of the plane and the island and the penthouse and whatever is to film people in illicit sex acts to blackmail them, well, then the logical question is, who is blackmailing them and for what? And so I hear people, like, for example, at that Ford plant, the guy screams and says, pedo protector. And to me, that sort of obfuscates what's really going on here. That's sort of like a virtue signal. It makes it about this kind of, like I said, a human interest story. It makes it like a SVU
that
episode.
That doesn't hurt the globalists. That doesn't hurt Israel, the British. If the guy had said, you're covering up Epstein with CIA Mossad, then that would have been no. Instead, it's just this generic thing that goes nowhere.
Exactly. If the guy at the plant said, you are an Israel shill, you're taking us to war with Iran for Israel, that's actually something with substance, saying pedo protector. And by the way, the guy's probably a liberal. And that's what I was getting that on the show, is that this kind of pedo protector thing, that is a way for liberals to obfuscate the message. Liberals don't care about that stuff. Liberals are pro-pedophilia. Liberals have been trying to normalize pedophilia for 15, 20 years. Bill Clinton was a rapist. Bill Clinton was involved with the Epsteins. And by the way, I remember when, and I don't want to create beef here, but when you were at Politicon or the RNC 10 years ago, I remember when Anna Kasparian and Cenk Uygur got in your face because Roger Stone said Bill Clinton is a rapist. Now Anna Kasparian's on Piers Morgan saying Trump is a pedo protector because he protected Epstein. So which is it? Are you mad that someone that you were voting for Hillary Clinton and his and her rapist husband? Oh, but now you suddenly care about Epstein. Well, none of these liberals cared about Epstein when Biden was president and couldn't release it.
Meanwhile, Bill Clinton was screwing the underage girls there. So you're right. She uses it on Trump with no evidence, but doesn't talk about Clinton.
So exactly. And that's a subtle distinction. That's why I say it's literally an IQ thing, because what I said is very clear. To make it all about pedophilia and whatever kind of obfuscates the true nature of it, which is that it is a blackmail intelligence ring, and that compromises the government. We're not in the business of, I'm not law enforcement. I'm a political commentator. I think everyone agrees that we should crack down on sex crimes and sex trafficking. And then they turn around and say, you're defending it. I'm not defending it. I'm saying that we have to view it.
Shouldn't even have to defend it. It's completely obvious. You went to the top floor, bottom floor, however you see, you went to the heart of what it is, which is all about being accurate. And that's how they spent it. So in closing, only a few minutes left. We should have done more on this. I get it. Trump's the best house in my neighborhood. We need to get on his ass, make him better. I criticize all day. I think that's healthy. But are you white-pilled, red-pilled? I think you're reality-pilled. The geopolitics of Venezuela, that versus the other things that are happening, overall, your view on Trump, why you've warmed some, where would you like to see him go?
Well, it's clear that he has gotten the message. I know that for a fact. I know that him and his team have gotten the message, and because they see the numbers, the favorability, the approval numbers are all down. And it is also clear that Trump is making a concerted effort to reboot. And there's some things I can't speak on, but they are really making an effort to get some initiative and get some momentum going. Now, whether we're actually going to see anything tangible, that is what
we're
going to
be
seeing.
We don't talk a lot off here. I have the White House reach out a lot, and that's my opinion. I'll leave it at that. You just kind of hinted. Did you got them reach out to you, finally ask your advice?
No, I don't talk to them directly, but we have a lot of people working in the White House.
Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, but basically, so we, you know, I have some idea of the mood and the temperature over there, and it looks like there's a lot that is happening. You know, they brought on 12,000 ICE agents. They're increasing the detention capacity for illegals. There seems to be, they lit a fire under some of the cabinet members to get some stuff going. So I think that they've gotten the message. There's going to be some more energy. But again, the question is when the rubber meets the road. Are they going to be able to do mass deportations? If even people like Joe Rogan are saying this is the Gestapo, there's going to be huge political pressure like there was in 2018 with family separation. That was always the question, is can they stick it out even when it's super unpopular? So, you know, I really want to see some more stuff with domestic policy. You know, I'd like to see more enforcement on illegal aliens. I do not want a war with Iran. I don't want to bomb them. I don't want any intervention over there. And, you know, we want to see some stuff on these other issues that we're campaigned on, maybe election integrity. We want to see some good stuff, maybe in Congress, break the filibuster, or some really good executive orders that he can enforce. But he's just got to make a difference to get it in the midterms, because if we lose it in the midterms, it is going to be hell. The Democrats are going to make it a living hell. And I'm rooting for Trump. I want good things to happen, but we just got to see it. Otherwise, you know, it's hard to support him.
Well, I totally agree with you. Just straight up advice to Trump, because I mean, I can tell you, they get what's going on, and Trump means well. He's not perfect, folks, but he really does care about the country. He is trying to make everybody happy. What if you were sitting down with Trump, which you've had dinner with him before, but and he asked your advice there. If you were sitting down with Trump in like 4 minutes or 2 minutes, what would you say to him?
I would tell him, you got to disregard tech, disregard Israel, focus on your base, the message that got you here. What is your movement about? You can have them all back. You can have a true dynasty. You can be a transformative president, but you have to hold true to what you said in 2016. Which is end the pointless wars, close the borders and deport the illegals, and bring back the industry. So you got to focus, get the right people, because we got a lot of bad people in there. You know, Kristi Noem is not good. Pam Bondi is not good. Tulsi Gabbard's not doing her job. Like, these are not good people. So if I were sitting across from them, I'd say, get some real personnel, not political patronage, but real personnel that know the mission, that are competent, that are going to do it, and make Make good on the promises that you made 10 years ago. Put America first, because you know what? The Silicon Valley people, they're not going to turn out in 28 and help you stay out of prison. Israel, they're not going to turn out in 28 and help you stay out of prison, but your base will. You know, the 600,000 Chinese students, they can't vote. The 150,000 H-1Bs, they can't vote. Israel, they can't vote, but people can vote. So you have to do what you said you're going to do and make good on those promises, because people are paying attention and they're watching and they're just disappointed. They were promised a golden age. They were promised all this stuff and they're not getting it. And rightfully so, they're not happy. 2025, let's be honest, it's not all bad, but it was a serious disappointment. They overpromised and they underdelivered. That much cannot be disputed. And I understand Rome wasn't built in a day, and I understand there's constraints.
No, but I mean, I agree with you, but I'm seeing rumblings that Trump gets it, though.
I am, too. I'm hearing that as well. And the problem is, though, we just got to see it happen, you know, because we played this game, as you know, in the last term. And it was, we're fighting over the personnel, and we're trying to get them to see the big picture. And what they will do is run out the clock. This is what the bureaucrats...
No, I totally agree. Look. I want Todd Blanche and Bondi, all of them gone right now. And I know Trump, from people that are in the meetings, yells at him. That's not enough, Trump. He thinks it'll be embarrassing to get rid of him. No, what's embarrassing is watching them sabotage your ass, because they all know you're going to be gone. They bet on the system. You need to bet on the people, Trump. Nick J. Fuentes, you doing a live show tonight?
I am. Yes, I'm going live at 9 Central.
All right. Thanks for being with us. I appreciate you. And you're already going to hold up. We need to talk in a few days about some stuff, all right?
Sounds good. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. All right. Harrison Smith is set to take over right now. I barely plugged today. I can't operate without your support. The best supplements, the best Patriot apparel. It's all available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you all for your support. Go there now. Big sale actually ends tonight. Store-wide 40% off and more. Thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support.